Finding life a bit complex? Confusing? Aware that your old strategies aren't working? Why not ask Pam and Marilyn? This is the Irreverent Therapists. And we're here to add some clarity, humor, and a bit of what might be considered blasphemy to your day.
And welcome, everybody, to the Irreverent Therapists. I am Pam Hoteling, and with me, yay, is Marilyn Bradford.
Woohoo!
And Marilyn, I am so excited because this is, I think, the fourth time that we've tried to do this topic. Marilyn was sick. I was sick. I was sick. Marilyn was sick.
And then we actually were there to do it, and we had a miscommunication.
Right, so they had a repeat going. So finally, here we are live again. And we are doing a show called These Are a Few of My Favorite Tools. And as you know, if you've been listening to our show at all, Marilyn and I are both Access Consciousness Certified Facilitators. And so today we're going to be sharing with you some of our favorite tools from Access Consciousness, tools that, you know, we use day in, day out, unless we're being pathetic, and then we forget for a little while.
Even then, sometimes we try to use them.
We try to use them, and then we call each other and facilitate each other and actually use them. But basically, these are tools that both Marilyn and I and many, many other people have used to change all kinds of things. And so today, we're just going to do like a whole show on what are our favorite tools. So Marilyn, I won't ask you like what is your absolute favorite tool, because I think that would be very challenging to come up with just one. But why don't you pick one of your top favorite tools?
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about, Pam, is that my favorite tool du jour or de moment has to do with what state I've chosen to be in. And recently, having been quite sick for a while and having a few other things going on, my favorite tool has been, what's right about this, I'm not getting. And that's been huge for me, because for most of my life, I mean, I would like have what I judge to be a bad spot, you know, like being sick and missing out on things, or not having the energy to complete things, or choosing to not complete things. I have that one too. But asking what's right about this I'm not getting can really change things, because two things. One, it gets you out of the negative. Two, something I've learned from Mr. Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, is if you're not willing to see what's right about something, you can't actually change it. And this is something I picked up early on. You know, I do a lot of work with addiction, and both of us are psychotherapists. So if someone comes in and says, you know, I hate alcohol, it's horrible, it's ruined my life, or this or that, and I ask, what's right about this you're not getting, then I found that people go into everything that alcohol or whatever it is has been contributing to them.
Yeah.
So I asked that question of one woman, and she's like, because she was drinking like two bottles of wine a day, and she was telling me alcohol was the devil. And I'm like, what's right about it? What does it contribute to you?
Yeah.
And she went into how it gave her a retreat from her crazy family. They knew not to disturb her when she was outside. She had her wine after dinner. It helped her to not see that her relationship wasn't working with her husband, and she didn't know what to do about it. It went on and on and on. There were like eight things. I'm like, with all of that, how could you give it up? Let's look at what we can change. And that's on a more personal level. I mean, the whole being sick thing, the whole, you know, I've been dealing a lot with my mother who's 98 and failing, and we've had to move her. It's like, what's right about it helps me to see what contribution, what gift the current situation or the person is to my life.
Yeah.
And that allows me to change things.
Yeah.
So that's my thing du jour.
Well, and, you know, I'd like to pick up on that because it's also one of my favorite tools. And when you were talking about the client that you worked with, I guess what I want to get at here is when we talk about what's right about this I'm not getting, it's not every cloud has a silver lining, or, you know, be a Pollyanna and look on the bright side of things, because it's, we're not talking about that. And Marilyn, when you were talking, it kind of highlighted it for me, because you're asking that lady, you know, what contribution has drinking alcohol been to you? It helped her to see what is.
Yes.
And that from seeing what is, she could say, oh, well, then I have choice. I can choose to drink alcohol to not look at what's going on with my relationship, or I could choose to look at my relationship and find a different way of dealing with it, where alcohol could just be a choice and I don't have to drink. So it's not the Pollyanna, there's a bright side to this. It's whatever you're creating, there's something about it that is working for you, or you wouldn't be creating it.
Yes. And actually, now I'm going to go in and sort of contradict you, but I know you won't mind.
I won't mind. you can totally contradict me. We're the irreverent therapists.
We're the irreverent therapists. Well, I was listening to something. And of course, you know, I listen to stuff at night and I'm never sure what I'm listening to. But it was an Access show. And Gary was talking about that movie, Pollyanna, and the whole concept of what am I glad for, which is a little bit different than what's right about this I'm not getting. But I've been using that this past week, Pam, and it's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's like every time I find myself doing pathetic, and not that any of you out there do pathetic, or Pam, you do pathetic. I'm sure I'm the only one who ever does pathetic.
I have my moments.
But I also
true confessions, I do get pathetic sometimes, just much less than I used to.
True confessions of Pam. But you know, what am I glad for? And every once in a while I'll pull that up. It's like if I'm doing funky,
yeah,
I'm like, okay, so what am I glad for in this situation?
Yeah.
And it's for me, and it's like, well, the sun is friggin' shining, Marilyn. I love the rain because we need it in New Mexico. But today was a glorious day. But also about other people. Am I glad for other people? Because I grew up in a family that was not necessarily glad for other people when good things happened to them.
Yeah.
And I've realized that when I can truly find the gratitude and the glad for other people, oh my gosh, it opens so much space in my life.
Yeah,
but I get what you're saying. It's not about, oh, it's so wonderful and I'm sure this is God's will. And it's not. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Never mind.
Irreverent therapist. That's okay.
Irreverent therapist. It's a true awareness.
Yeah.
Of what's to celebrate.
Well, and see, I would actually highlight that as a second tool, gratitude. It's like, and so to me, the what's right about this I'm not getting helps me get out of the judgment and the wrongness and the I can't believe this is going on, or, you know, whatever it is, to being able to have that gratitude.
Yeah.
For
and sometimes, for me, what's right about this I'm not getting is all about my willingness to allow other people to have their choice.
Yeah.
Rather than what I've decided they should choose.
You mean like when I see my kids making choices and I'm like, oh, I must be a terrible mother if they're choosing that.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking of that at all, Pam.
I can say, what's right about this I'm not getting.
Exactly.
And then, but it does. It creates that space to be able to acknowledge it's their choice. It's their life. I can, you know, I can ask questions. I can, you know, be here to and be an invitation to a different possibility, but it's their choice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I can have gratitude for them and what they're choosing, even if I know deep down they should choose something different.
I love it.
Pod and pock.
Well, in a lot of ways, that's another one of my favorite tools, which is just acknowledging that everyone has choice and that we don't need to save and rescue people. We don't need to decide what's best for them.
Yeah.
It's so helpful to acknowledge, oh my gosh, they have choice and this is what they're choosing. Mm-hmm. And it's not right or wrong. It's simply their choice. That's been huge for me, true. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, before we move on to something else, I just want to say the what's right about this I'm not getting. You can also ask what's right about me I'm not getting.
Oh, yeah. Good one.
Yeah. Because you're starting to talk about the judgment. I'm like, we could go so many places next. I'm so excited. So I'm sorry. So keep going with what you were saying.
I can't even remember what I was saying. What was I saying?
Well, you were saying something about – well, let's talk about judgment, because that's one of my favorite tools is no judgment and – what is it? No judgment, no discrimination, no discernment.
Well, there's all kinds of ways that judgment shows up that we don't necessarily recognize it, like conclusion and discernment and all those different kinds of things.
Yeah. So, and I was just thinking of an example of that, and now I'm not sure. It just left my brain, which is kind of not surprising.
It left the station. Okay. So one of the things for me about judgment, it's interesting because before this show, Pam and I were both on a radio call, and I was asking about something. I was asking about receiving. And what I realized in the course of the what do you call the person? The commentator, the person who led the call.
The person leading the call.
It was that I had come to conclusion and was looking for an answer. And answers are always about judgment. Oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. And my energy was so contracted. But when he started talking about what if you just go, oh, well, okay, that's some level of receiving. And what else could I know about receiving? What else is possible here?
Yeah. Oops. I'm so excited. I wasn't watching the time.
We'll be back.
We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Live with Medium Lisa Phoenix, Mediumship Messages and Musings explores mediumship and all things metaphysical. Lisa Phoenix invites you to reach above and beyond your everyday experiences to explore new dimensions in the spirit world. She will do live readings to connect callers to their loved ones in spirit, shares engaging stories and teachings from her own personal experience, and will have intriguing conversations with other mediums, spiritual teachers, and healers to help you understand the metaphysical world so you can connect to these forces in your day-to-day life. Join your host on this magical and metaphysical journey into the world of spirit every Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back to The Irreverent Therapist, where I was so excited about our conversation, I paid no attention to the fact that we were coming to break. So I know we were talking about judgment and conclusion. We probably won't like pick up linearly right from where we left off, knowing Marilyn and I. But we will keep talking about our favorite tools. So Marilyn, was there anything that you remember that we were in the middle of you wanted to continue with? Or should we just go on?
Well, just that judgment and conclusion tends to go hand in hand with answer.
Yeah.
And that's what I had been looking for before I got kind of nudged. And answer stops all the energies of possibilities. If you go, why isn't my relationship working out? Oh, it's because he works too much. Boink. You can't ask any more questions. You've already decided what the problem is. If you go, huh, I wonder what else is possible here and what can I be aware of and what's going on that's beyond anything I've ever considered, you can go, oh, well, he's still really attached to his mother and what else? And actually, we're not really politically, whatever it is.
Right,
but the
right.
point is.
You start having the awareness of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And when you're in conclusion and judgment, you cut off your capacity to be aware. You cannot be judgmental and aware at the same time.
Well, and this is kind of the flip side of what you're saying, because, you know, we're talking about not being judgmental, but as part of that, you talked about asking questions. And asking questions is one of my favorite tools.
These are a few of my favorite tools.
I've got to let you be the singer.
Yes.
If I jump in, I'll be off key from you. But and actually, this I was just thinking about today, because I, you know, Marilyn and I, we both use asking questions all the time, and that's, you know, and any time we, you know, I notice I start coming to conclusion. If I stop and ask questions, it changes that. And one of my kids, you know, just this week was because you know, my husband and I, we've been separated for 3 years now, and we have two households, and, you know, we live about 5 minutes apart, and we're schlepping the kids back and forth and everything. And one of the kids was like, I wish we could build a house and we have, you know, one half of the house is mom's and one half is dad's, and there's doors in between so we can go back and forth, because they don't like not being able to have both of us, right? Uh-huh. And, you know, there was like this moment of me starting to go to, well, no, we really can't. You know, that's not really feasible. You know, I'm thinking, you know, money wise and moving, and, you know, her, the dad and I, and, you know, where we. But then I was like, wait, what if we actually ask questions about this? And cool. Not from trying to find out, is it the right thing to do, or should we or shouldn't we do it? But by asking questions about what would it create if we had houses closer together, or a duplex where we each have half of it, or, you know, mm-hmm. like what might be possible that's different than what we're doing now? And, you know, so we talked about it, and we're both like, we have no idea where we'd go with this or if it's something we'd choose or not, but we're willing to talk and ask questions about it and look at the energy of it.
Yeah.
You know, because if we're asking questions and feel like we're digging ourselves into a ditch, that's going to be a no. You know, this is not light. Whereas, you know, if we start asking questions and it's lighter and lighter and more expansive, you know, then it's, we can choose to do it or not, but we'll have much greater awareness about us and the kids and what we could contribute to the kids and what the kids require and what we require. You know, so that's just one example of where I could go to the conclusion of, no, we're separated. This is it. We're not, you know, we can't. This is what it looks like to be separated or for our family or whatever. And instead it's like, let's ask questions and see.
So I love that thing of asking questions. And let's take a minute, Pam, because when I used to think about asking questions, it was kind of like, how do I get my husband to do this?
Mm-hmm.
Which is not really.
You mean, how do I get the result I want to get?
How do I get the result I want? How do I get him to take out the trash without me asking? You know, how do I get my boss to just leave me alone? Those are not really questions. Those are conclusions back to judgment that we have, and we put a question mark on them. So mm-hmm. how would you describe a real question to people, Pam? I'm throwing it back at you.
Well, one is, so to me, a real question has no judgment built into it. So how do I get my husband to take out the trash? You've already got the judgment and conclusion that he should. And having him take out the trash is going to do something for you that you need or want or whatever. And it's, how do I make it happen? A real question would be, you know, wow, what would it take to get these household chores done with greater ease?
That's so much more expansive.
Yeah. What's possible with this that I haven't even allowed myself to consider? You know, because from that, so I'd say it's, they're open-ended. And there's no judgment already in there. And it's and you're asking a question to have the awareness, not to get the answer. So I'm not asking what else is possible here that I haven't considered. So I'll get, well, here's the list of everything I haven't considered. It's more like I'll go about my day and ideas will pop into my awareness, or I'll get a hit to call somebody and say, oh, I think I want to call Mary Beth. And I call Mary Beth and she's talking about this thing, which gives me great, you know, awareness of what else is possible. It's truly kind of magical.
It is very magical, because what you're really asking for is something to show up that's beyond anything your linear mind can figure out.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it, because my linear mind kicks into action all the time. And my linear mind is like Worth Doodly Squat.
Right. Your linear mind is trying to problem solve and come to an answer. And it's limited to what you already know.
Yeah. It's really like a computer.
Yeah.
It cannot actually have a creative, truly new solution, or not even solution. You know, that's not what I mean. But awareness.
Yeah.
It has to go with what's been programmed into it. And that usually ends up not working very well.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you think about, like for me, before I knew these tools, right, I can still look back on my life and see where I was asking questions and following the energy. Like, you know, my husband and I, we moved across the country. Like,
and I did too, only it was a shorter hop.
Well, and actually, I should say, we bought a house before we ever had jobs across the country.
I like that.
And then it took us about, you know, 3 months to get the job parts sorted and actually move. But it was just so light that we're buying the house and someday we'll move there and we can rent it out if it takes us a few years. And, you know, but it was, I'll just talk about me. I was asking to create greater in my life.
That's and so cool.
This matched the energy of what I wanted to create.
That's very cool, Pam. And that is, and you know, you'd mentioned before following the energy. I think that might be strange for some people, because that's actually a tool in and of itself.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say a little bit more about what following the energy looks like?
Yeah. Well, and to me, it goes hand in hand with asking questions, mm-hmm. because just following the energy with no question, it's like it's basically coming from conclusion again. Mm-hmm. But if you're asking questions, so here's an example. There was a class this month in Vancouver, and say in like January or February, I was asking questions about actually, you know, if I choose to go to this class in Vancouver and not watch it from home by online, you know, what will that create? And what will my life be like in 5 years? And I was asking questions about taking my daughter with me, and it was all really light. In fact, we went and got her a passport because her passport had expired. And then a couple of weeks later, as I looked at it, it got actually quite heavy.
I'm just going to interrupt here.
Yeah.
You mean things can change? We can make a, quote, decision in June, that might change in July, but if we've decided it, then we won't really look at the energy.
Right. And that's where the asking questions is ongoing. I wasn't like, hey, it's light to go to Vancouver. I've got the hotel reservation. We've got the passport. That's it. We're going. I always keep asking questions. And I also call it like just getting a hit. It's like something, you know, I'll just suddenly think about the trip and be like, oh, okay. So if we go on this trip, what will our lives be like in 5 years? So it got really heavy. Now it ends up that at the time that I would have been going to Vancouver, I was just getting over being quite sick with, you know, my body being quite sick. And the last thing I would have wanted to do right then was fly to Vancouver. And, you know, and not to say that that's a reason of, oh, I didn't go because I was going to be sick. But I don't have to look for the why. It's like, oh, it's really heavy. I'm not going to buy a plane ticket for two of us to fly to Vancouver when it's that heavy. Because what I've found over the years of asking questions and following what's light, that energy that's expansive and full of possibilities, it always works better than when I ignore it and pick the heavy thing, even though, because usually what happens with that is I talk myself into something.
Well, not only that, but, you know, this reality sort of values consistency. I mean, that was one thing that I had to get over. And I can't remember who said it. Emerson, maybe? Foolish consistency is the hobgoblin of little minds.
Mm-hmm.
It's like people are often consistent in order not to have to be aware.
Yeah. So. Yeah. So, and on that note, we are just about to go to our break. And so we're going to have a break. If you have questions for us, you can put them on our Facebook page, The Irreverent Therapists on Facebook. And we will be back in just a few moments with a few more of our favorite tools. Very musical today, Marilyn.
I am. Okay, I'll shut up. Can't you see the little guys dancing?
Yes.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Vibe Nation Radio is brought to you by Carrie Turcott and Dean Thomas. Each week, we bring a refreshing outlook to lifting the veils of illusion that occur in our daily lives. We will share our own learnings and personal experience that allow others to understand who they truly are.
At the end of each show, Carrie will be tapping into the listeners' energies just to give an idea of what to expect for the week ahead. So join us each Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, and together, we will discover the inner keys that will unlock the true you.
Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Join Vibe Nation radio host, international psychic medium, Carrie Turcott, as she guides her listeners to rediscover themselves by accessing the keys of knowledge that already exist within. Each week's show is divinely orchestrated to intertwine with the universal energies, allowing the listeners to go deeper within. At the end of each show, Carrie will tap into the energies of the listeners and give a message from spirit about the upcoming week. If you really want to get to know who you truly are, join Carrie each Monday at 3 p.m. on Vibe Nation Radio.
The cutting edge of conscious radio, OM Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Irreverent Therapist, where we are talking, Marilyn and I are talking about our favorite tools. I'm loving this show, Marilyn.
I know. This is, we may have to do number two. You
know, I know, because, like, yeah, like, I have this list. We're barely scratching it.
Exactly.
So what tool would you like to talk about next, Marilyn?
I would like to talk about one of the – Access has the Ten Commandments of Access, and they're awesome. If you truly live by these, your life will change in ways you cannot imagine. And one of them is, do not listen to, tell, or buy the story. Now, I want to say a caveat before I go into an example from last week, which is that if someone's like, when I get a new psychotherapy client, if they have, say, an addiction with alcohol, I do ask them, tell me about your drinking. Tell me about when it started, how much you're drinking. That's not actually a story. That's information that I can use to get a sense of where the person is and what some of the decisions and judgments and conclusions they may have made along the way. So that's not a story. But a story is like, well, you know, like, well, and then I talked to Mary and she went very nice to me. And I know my parents were kind of mean. And so that's the reason I am when I, you know, that kind of way. You just want to go, oh, please shut up. Or could I have a drink?
Yeah.
Something, you know, along those lines. But anyway, so this past Saturday, I had to take a cultural awareness class.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Yes. To renew my license for social work because I had a provisional, I have a provisional license in New Mexico. And it was very interesting because in the afternoon, the instructor had a panel of, well, it was supposed to be three Native American speakers. Given the crazy weather in New Mexico, it snowed so much that the one from the Jimenez Pueblo couldn't make it because all of a sudden in the middle of April, we had like feet of snow.
Gotta love New Mexico.
Gotta love New Mexico. It is always different. We did have two speakers, and the first one was absolutely phenomenal. He talked about what he called the Two-Spirit Nation, which was basically he's created this it's an organization, I guess. They have chapters in New York and San Francisco and a few other, you know, other places, and it's growing, of – and I always get these initials wrong, but LGBT Native Americans, so that the LGBTs,
yep.
Yes, can have a forum basically to talk about what's going on with them. And he also talked about how before the white man came, I didn't put it that way, but basically that's what it was, the people who were called two spirits were actually quite revered and considered, if not medicine men, certainly seers, prophets, people who had something to say, something to contribute, because they were able to combine the masculine and the feminine. And what he basically did was to bring up an issue and then to give a solution. And I don't mean that in the solidified sense, but hey, this is what we're doing and we'd love your contribution and, you know, a place to go. And it was, I was like, he was truly a brilliant guy.
Yeah.
You know, he really was. And then
the second guy wasn't.
No, the second woman was an older woman who talked a lot about how the dominant society had abused her and her family and violated everything they believed and was still violating it. And despite that, I got when you get money to go to college? A scholarship.
Oh, yep.
I got scholarships to five universities, and I did this, and I did that, and I thought I was going to die. Mm-hmm. Not die, just sort of sink below the table out of sheer boredom.
Yeah.
And the contrast between the two was amazing. But
so, Go ahead. No, I was going to say, because I think it might be helpful at this point. Can you get underneath what she was saying to how it was a story and how it limits her?
Yeah, it was basically a story because it was about how she was – a story is proving something often. Mm-hmm. It's either that or it's just taking up space. But in this case, it was proving what a victim she was, and despite how much she was victimized, she was rising above. And the interesting thing was – that she also was in, quote, recovery from 12-step, which is a totally, story-oriented program.
Mm-hmm.
And she was parroting. A lot of things that you hear in stories are people parroting. Oh, when I started actually being an alcohol counselor, I was still drinking. But, of course, I didn't have a problem. I was in denial. I mean, it was like I've heard this 8,000 times.
Right.
A story is basically there to stop the energy, to take up time, and to not allow possibilities. Stories are incredibly fixed.
Well, and I just want to jump in while I'm thinking of it because I know me, I'll forget. It's, you know, the way we're talking about stories, you use your stories to limit you and keep you from changing and to keep yourself stuck.
And that's what this was.
Yeah.
Let me show you why I would never change. I mean, this was a woman who was totally stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the best I can say about her.
Yeah. And it's, you know, so the whole tell her by the story is, you know, so say Marilyn, you're, you know, like Marilyn will talk to me about the things going on with her mother. And there might be something there that we clear, or we ask questions about. But if she was calling me basically wanting to constantly complain about how horrible her life is because she has to take care of her mother – that would be story because she's using the situation with her mother as her reason for not changing, not choosing, not creating. So that's a story. If she calls me and says, well, this, and this is what was going on with my mom today, and it brought this and this up for me, can you help me take a look at that and clear this and change it? You know, that's not story because she's not using it to limit and stop herself. She's using it to – she's talking about it to create change.
Yeah, and you find a lot of stories happen with things like abuse where people say, well, you know, because I was abused, blah, 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 I can't change, or I'm always depressed, or this or that. Or because it's often about blame, and that's sort of what this one was.
Yeah.
It's like somebody else is responsible for the fact that you're not choosing more.
Yeah. And I also feel like it might be good to do a clearing right now.
Good idea.
So do you have one at the top of your head, Marilyn?
Yeah. What energy, space, and consciousness can I be that would allow me to let go of being the storyteller for all eternity?
Oh, I like that. Everything that doesn't allow that, will you destroy it and create it? Time to Godzillion.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good and bad, pod, poc, all nine shorts, boys and beyonds.
Well, I'd just like to ask our audience, what would it be like if you never told stories? Because most stories are reason and justification.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, reason and justification is actually a form of judgment, which we were tapping into earlier, and prevents you from changing things and moving on.
Yeah, and because it's you know, what I think about is when I started using these tools and, you know, especially the do not listen to, tell her by the story, one, I started to stop myself when I go into story, you know, when I would be talking to a friend and kind of go down the rabbit hole of, well, this is this in my life and I can't do this because of this. And, you know, so it's you start getting to where your conversations are all about creating.
Yes, exactly.
And
exactly.
And where things actually get way more fun. And I just want to say, so, you know, you mentioned that do not listen to, tell, or by the story is one of the Ten Commandments of Access. We've also talked about two other ones. So we talked about questions and asking questions, and that's, you know, live as the question, not as the answer. Mm-hmm. And then there's also one about no judgment. And so I just wanted to let people know if if those conversations intrigue you, there actually is a book called The 10 Keys to Total Freedom that was written by Gary Douglas and Dane Heer, and just awesome, awesome book.
And if you happen to be an audiophile, there's a telecall that the book was taken from.
Yes.
Which is the Ten Commandments, and it's available on Access. What is it? Yeah. Access.
Both of those. Accessconsciousness.com in the
dot com. Yeah. In the shop. Yeah.
Just so you know, it's like you can go into those really in depth, and they truly are the 10 keys
phenomenal
to total freedom.
Yeah.
So let's see. That all made me think of something that now, of course, I forgot.
How about some basic ones? And I know we have just a little bit of time, but like, who does this belong to?
Yes. Yes. That's another favorite tool of both of ours.
Because I'll tell you what, when dealing with my mother, who has an enormous amount of, how can I say this, energy. And if she's depressed, and I've been very tuned into her since I was probably in the womb, I often am like, depressed. And it's like, oh my gosh, I wonder when I'm going to die. And I'm like, wait a minute. What is that?
Is that mine?
Who's Hello? Who does that belong to? Oh, it's mother's. She's almost 98. In fact, I'm going to celebrate her 98th birthday in less than a week. But she does wonder those things.
Yeah.
And the whole who does this belong to is you have to get that we're all psychic, and that doesn't mean reading tea leaves or crystal balls. It means we pick up the thoughts, feelings, and emotions of everyone, sometimes for like 8,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly if you're close to someone, you'll pick up what their quote thought, feeling, or thinking, or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we're about running out of time, but I find this also very true when I work with clients with addiction, because they'll pick up the energy of everyone who has the same addiction that they do. So oftentimes when people say, I just got this idea, I wanted a drink, I'm like, who did that belong to? And they're like, oh, it's not mine.
Yeah.
No.
Awesome. Well, on that note, we're going to go take another break. We will come back with our last segment of These Are a Few of My Favorite Tools. So come right back.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com. And change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Feed your soul with waves of consciousness on OM Times Radio.
And welcome back, everybody, to The Irreverent Therapist, where Marilyn and I are sharing a few of our favorite tools. And Marilyn, right before the break, we were kind of breezing really fast through who does this belong to. And, you know, you mentioned that we pick up on the thoughts, feelings, emotions of the people around us. And I just want to say, it's not like, okay, so, you know, Aunt Mary is in the next room and I'm getting, Aunt Mary is thinking this, this, and this.
Right.
Like our thoughts, feelings, and emotions are energy. And yeah. And it's energy that's out there, and we pick up on that all the time. And the thing is, we don't recognize it as somebody else's. You know, I would sit here worrying about, you know, my money, my bank account, you know, my life, my kids. But if I stop and ask, who does it belong to? That energy of worry isn't mine. It's like I pick up on the energy and I apply the details of my life. So it sure seems like mine, you know, but it's my bank money I'm thinking about. But if you stop and to use the tool, you just ask, who does this belong to? And if you feel it all lighter, at least part of it isn't yours. And then you can say, return it to sender. And you're not like, I'm returning it to them so they suffer. It's right. You know, it's the acknowledgement and that it's not yours. You can just send it back, because you could spend 20 years in therapy working on issues that just aren't even yours.
And that's what a lot of people do.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, exactly. It's not your anger. It's not your upset. It's not your jealousy. I mean, and it's kind of subtle. I mean, even, you know, I've been in access for quite a while, almost 10 years, I guess. And I was talking at a Choice of Possibilities class with Gary, and I'm like, you know, my whole life I've been so territorial, and I don't understand it. I mean, my entire life I've like, this is mine, and I could go into the quote therapy of this reality of, well, you know, I didn't have a real bedroom. I had kind of my bedroom was in the hall, and my stuff was taken, and this and that. And Gary just said, is it yours? And I went, oh, I looked at the energy once again, and we should probably talk about that tool, heavy and light. And I went, oh, it's not mine. It's my family's and various members of my family. How does it get better than that?
Right. And that's the thing, because, you know, if a huge amount of what you think you're thinking and feeling is really you picking up on other people's stuff, I mean, one, you can't fix it, solve it, or do anything to change it. Not that we want to fix and solve things, but, you know, we're all about change, Marilyn and I.
Right.
If it's not yours. Right. And on the other hand, if you ask the question, who does this belong to? And it really lightens up and you return it to sender. It's like you can be like, you know, if you think of whatever you think your problem or issue is, you could just take out like 90% of it and it's gone. And then, you know, here's a little bit left for you to ask questions about and use tools to clear. And it actually really helps the change process go moving.
Yeah.
Right
and,
along.
I, and I would just like to add to that, Pam. I mean, it was amazing after that, because literally, and I'm in my 60s, I've always had this thing about territory. This is mine. This is, and once Gary said that, asked that question, and I went, and I looked at the energy and I went, oh, it's not mine.
Yeah.
All of that changed.
It totally.
All of that changed.
Marilyn and I have roomed together at many, many classes, and I can tell you it totally changed. Right? Because it was no longer like a, there's territory here. It was an ease of what's going to work best for the two of us living in this room. So,
yeah, exactly. And I remember actually one of the last times we shared, I'd come in and I decided, Pam wasn't there yet, that this would be the right bed for me, because then she could stay up later and the blah, 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 and the lie. I mean, I had all this reason and justification. And Pam came in and she said, you know, energetically, I think I should have this other bed. And I went,
let's ask questions.
Let's ask questions. Oh, you're actually right. Okay, never mind.
So, yeah, and so let's actually talk. I mean, because we talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but, you know, heavy and light is another tool of access.
Oh, awesome tool.
Yeah, and it's like if something is true for you, it will feel very light and expansive. And if it feels really heavy and contractive, it's at least some part of it is a lie for you. And, you know, you can use this, you can ask questions and look at the energy of things. So, you know, at this hotel room, you know, I broached the idea of, hey, what if we ask questions about it? And so we asked, okay.
She not only made a decision.
you'd made a decision. You'd come to conclusion and maybe there was some judgment involved, right?
Yep, that's true. Yep, that was it.
Yeah. And, you know, and it came from trying to find, you know, she was looking at me and how I like to stay up late, and she was looking at her and, you know, like keeping the light from, but, you know, so it was conclusion to try to address what would work better for us, right?
Yes.
And sometimes that's the thing, is like people think judgment has to be negative. It's like if I have a judgment of you that you're the most perfect person in the world, that's still a judgment.
Yes, it was totally a judgment for the higher good.
A judgment for the higher good, exactly. And, you know, when we actually asked, okay, so if Marilyn sleeps here and Pam sleeps here, what will that create? What will our lives be like in 5 years? It was totally light to do it the other way. And then we were both perfectly happy because we were doing what energetically worked.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's a beautiful example of, you may have what would be called a very kind or concerned judgment about what's going to be for the highest good, but it's a judgment. It's not a question.
Yeah.
And when you actually begin to ask questions, you may find that the exact opposite is what's actually going to create more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of people get hung up on that. And good people, kind people, they're trying to figure out, well, what would be best here? What would be kind? But the difficulty is, it's that figuring it out.
Yeah.
So one of the great tools is to give up figuring it out.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. Give up figuring it out in favor of being aware.
Yep. Say more.
Well, we're taught to figure it out. We're taught that logic, I mean, my dad was a scientist, is where it's at. Okay, so this is my target, or this is my goal. My goal is to make Pam happy and to make both of us have an easy time with, you know, sharing a room together for 5 nights. Okay, so what do I know? Well, Pam likes to stay up late, and I like to go to bed early, and I don't want the light shining in my face. And let's see, the bathroom's over here, and if she sleeps here, then none of that makes any difference.
And let me just point out, as she's saying all that, don't you feel kind of like, bleh, like, bleh. Oh, you have to keep talking, bleh, right? That's heavy energy.
Yeah. But if I go, okay, so what? Okay, so given Pam and me, what's going to create more for both of us in the long run?
In this 10 seconds.
In this 10 seconds. Yes, exactly.
Because what works at this hotel, it might be something different at the next hotel.
Okay, new tool, Pam. Will you talk about this 10 seconds?
Yeah. So one of the tools, this is actually another one of the 10 Commandments of Access. So it's in that 10 Keys to Total Freedom book.
Number three,
is living in 10-second increments. And, you know, this also speaks back to some of what we talked about earlier, where Marilyn was like, you mean if you make a choice, like you're not stuck with it? It's not what I was talking about. It was light to go to Vancouver and then it was heavy. When you're living in 10-second increments, it's choose. You're not stuck with any choice you're making.
And I want to interject one thing here, which, and you already said it, but I just want to kind of underline it. What works in one situation may not work in another. The next time we room together, it may be the opposite bed configuration.
Right. And if you're asking questions, then you have that awareness. If you're like, okay, it always works best if Marilyn's next to the bathroom and I'm over here and blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, to me, Marilyn, all these tools we talk about, it's when you're not using them, everything's being created very, like, everything's very solid and stuck and hard to change.
Yes.
Any of the tools we're talking about, but especially things like living in 10-second increments, asking questions, looking at heavy and light, it's like there's no solidity that you have to stick with. You can choose any moment based on your awareness, based on asking questions, following the energy. It's a very dynamic and fluid, ever-changing way of being in the world.
Absolutely, Pam. I mean, and that's one of the things, all of the access tools to me have that basically as an underlying kind of thing, is that they're all about fluidity and not making anything solid and being able to see new possibilities and changing. And I'm actually totally thrilled with this call. And you know, I've been looking at my list of everything I wrote down, and we've done about five of the
So we'll definitely
pages.
Do a part two or a part
We're definitely going to do a part two of favorite. These are a few of my favorite tools. Because for me, anyway, the tools have totally changed how I live my life.
Yeah. And it's, you know, these tools, they're so easy to use.
Yes.
You know, there's nothing that we talked about today that's like, now I have to get up and lift weights so that I can use this tool.
Exactly. Or stand on one foot in the corner of a full moon. And,
yeah. They're easy to use and they're easy to bring into your life. So we actually have to go now because our time is over, but we're both so excited about this show. I know we will have at least a second installment. Next week, Marilyn is not going to be available because she's going to be celebrating her mom's birthday, but we have a guest, Juna Guter from Canada, and we're going to be talking about, is your body a battleground or a playground of possibility?
And I tell you, Juna's awesome.
So she is awesome. So join Juna and I next week, and then Marilyn and I will be back together live the week after. So everybody have an awesome week.